Hamelin Town is in Brunswick, by famous Hanover City. The River Weser, deep and wide, washes its walls on the southern side, a pleasanter spot you never spied. But when begins...
You're listening to the voice of Alec Templeton reading The Pied Piper of Hamelin by Robert Browning. A page from this week's edition of Anthology. Fleetwood. Each week at this time, the National Broadcasting Company, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the Young Men and Young Women's Hebrew Association of New York, brings you Anthology, a selection of readings from poets, past and present, and the music to accompany their poetry. This week, The Brownings, poetry by Robert and Elizabeth Barrett Browning. Our guests by transcription, Alec Templeton and Miss Thelma Mateski. In pursuit of the poetry of the Brownings, we have, we believe, two very original and entertaining works for you on this week's edition of Anthology. First, in a light vein, Robert Browning's delightful narrative, The Pied Piper of Hamelin, lightened and brightened still further by the enchanted touch of Alec Templeton. Then, three of Elizabeth Barrett Browning's sonnets from the Portuguese, set to music and sung for you by Miss Thelma Mateski. Since The Pied Piper of Hamelin is a poetic fantasy, it seemed only natural that I should meet Alec Templeton in an equally fantastic fashion. I came into the studio to find a copy of the Pied Piper album issued by Label X lying on my desk. I was immediately interested since Mr. Templeton has always been a great favorite of mine, and I knew that his treatment of Robert Browning's fabulous fable would be well worth hearing. I started to open the album when I heard... Mr. Templeton, wait a minute till I get this flap open. Now.
Oh, I'm glad to be out of there, Fleetwood. It was quite hot.
Yes, I can imagine. And those record envelopes are so cramped, too. We're very happy to have The Pied Piper of Hamelin on Anthology today, Mr. Templeton. And we're even more delighted to have you here, too. I wonder if you could tell us a little about the background of the Piper. How did you happen to choose this particular poem?
Well, there are so many wonderful classics that I have not heard on records yet. And I thought it would be rather nice to record one of my very favorites and also, being a musician, to set the music to such a beautiful impressionistic poem as Browning's Pied Piper of Hamelin. It calls for music. Every bit of it calls for music. And I've often thought of this poem in terms of a ballet, but with so many of the little rhymes in it, I decided that with the themes of the mare and the rat theme and the piper and all the different themes, that we should also have a little song to go with the music, such as I'm Able by Means of a Secret Charm, which you will hear. And also, I did that because I thought my young friends could sing along with the record if they wanted to. And so that was why I did that.
Well, maybe we can all follow the little bouncing ball, Mr. Templeton. Thank you so much for stopping by to say hello to us. And here, for the young in heart of all ages, is Robert Browning's The Pied Piper of Hamelin, scored, played, narrated and sung for you by Alec Templeton.
Hamelin Town is in Brunswick, by famous Hanover City. The River Weser, deep and wide,
washes its walls on the southern side, a pleasanter spot you never spied. But when begins my ditty almost 500 years ago, to see the town folk suffer so from vermin was a pity. Rats, rats, they fought the dogs and killed the cats, and bit the babies in their cradles, and ate the cheeses out of the vats, and licked the soup from the cook's own ladles, split open the kegs of salted sprats, made nests inside men's Sunday hats, and even spoilt the women's chats by drowning their speaking with shrieking and squeaking in 50 different shops and flats. At last the people in a body to the town hall came flocking. "'Tis clear," they cried, "our mayor's a noddy. And as for the corporation, shocking to think we buy gowns lined with ermine for dolts who can't or won't determine what's best to rid us of our vermin." An hour they sat in council. At length, the mayor broke silence. "It's easy to bit one rack one's brain. I'm sure my poor head aches again. I've scratched it so, but all in vain. Oh, for a trap, a trap, a trap." Just as he said that, what should happen at the chamber door but a gentle tap? "Bless us," cried the mayor. "What's that? Only a scraping of shoes on the mat? Oh, anything like the sound of a rat makes my heart go pitter-pat." "Come in," cried the mayor, looking bigger. And in did come the strangest figure. His queer long coat, from heel to head, was half of yellow and half of red. And he himself was tall and thin, with sharp blue eyes, each like a pin, and light loose hair, yet swarthy skin. No tuft on cheek, nor beard on chin, but lips where smiles went out and in. There was no guessing his kith and kin. He advanced to the council table, and, "Please, Your Honor," said he, "I'm able by means of a secret charm to draw all creatures neath the sun that creep or fly or swim or run after me as you never saw. And I chiefly use my charm on creatures that do people harm, the mole, the toad, the newt and viper, and people call me the Pied Piper." And here they noticed round his neck a scarf, same check. And at the scarf's end hung a pipe. And his fingers, they noticed, were ever straying, as if impatient to be playing upon that pipe, as low it dangled over his vesture so old-fangled. "If I can rid your town of rats, will you give me 1,000 guilders? 50,000 was the exclamation of the astonished mayor and corporation. Into the street the piper stepped, smiling first, a little smile, as if he knew what magic slept in his quiet pipe the while. Then, like a musical adept to blow the pipe, his lips he wrinkled, and green and blue his sharp eyes twinkled, like a candle flame where salt is sprinkled. Ere 3 shrill notes the pipe uttered, you heard as if an army muttered. And the muttering grew to a grumbling, and the grumbling grew to a mighty rumbling, and out of the houses the rats came tumbling. Great rats, small rats, lean rats, brawny rats, brown rats, black rats, gray rats, tawny rats, brothers, sisters, husbands, wives, followed the piper for their lives. From street to street he piped advancing, and step by step they followed dancing, until they came to the river Weser, wherein all plunged and perished. You should have heard the Hamelin people ringing the bells till they rocked the steeple. "Go," cried the mayor, "and get long poles. Poke out the nests and block up the holes. Consult with carpenters and builders, and leave in our town not even a trace of the rats." When suddenly, up the face of the piper perked in the marketplace with a
First, if you please, my 1,000 guilders.
1,000 guilders? The mayor looked blue. So did the corporation, too. To pay this sum to a wandering fellow with a gypsy coat of red and yellow? Besides, quoth the mayor with a knowing wink, our business was done at the river's brink. We saw with our eyes the vermin sink. And what's dead can't come to life, I think. So, friend, we're not the folk to shrink from the duty of giving you something to drink and the matter of money to put in your poke. But as for the guilders, what we spoke of them, as you very well know, was in joke. Beside, our losses have made us thrifty. 1,000 guilders? Come, take 50. Piper's face fell, and he cried, no trifling, I can't wait. Beside, folks who put me in a passion may find me piped to another fashion. How, cried the mayor, you threaten us, fellow? Do your worst. Blow your pipe there till you burst.
Once more he stepped into the street, and to his lips again laid his long pipe of smooth, straight cane. And ere he blew 3 notes, such sweet, soft notes, as yet musician's cunning never gave the enraptured air, there was a rustling that seemed like a bustling of merry crowds jostling and pitching and hustling. Small feet were pattering, wooden shoes clattering, little hands clapping and little tongues chattering, and like fowls in a barnyard when barley is scattering. Out came the children running, all the little boys and girls with rosy cheeks and flaxen curls and sparkling eyes and teeth like pearls, skipping and tripping merrily after the wonderful music with shouting and laughter. Council stood as if they were changed into blocks of wood, unable to move a step or cry to the children merrily skipping by, and could only follow with the eye the joyous crowd at the piper's back. As the piper turned from the high street to where the Weser rolls its waters right in the way of their sons and daughters, however, he turned from south to west, and to Copperberg Hill his steps addressed, and after him the children pressed. Great was the joy in every breast. He never can cross that mighty top. He's forced to let the piping drop, and we shall see our children stop. When low as they reached the mountainside, a wondrous portal opened wide, as if a cavern was suddenly hollowed, and the piper advanced, and the children followed. And when all were in to the very last, the door of the mountainside shut fast. Did I say all? No, one was lame and could not dance the whole of the way. And in after years, if you would blame his sadness, he was used to say, dull in our town since my playmates left. I can't forget that I am bereft of all the wonderful sights they see, which the piper also promised me. For he led us, he said, to a joyous land, joining the town and just at hand, where waters gushed and fruit trees grew and flowers put forth a fairer hue, and everything was strange and new. The sparrows were brighter than peacocks here, and their dogs outran our fallow deer, and honeybees had lost their stings, and horses were born with eagles' wings. And just as I became assured my lame foot would be speedily cured, the music stopped.
and I stood still and found myself outside the hill, left alone against my will, to go now limping as before and never hear of that country more.
The mayor sent east, west, north and south to offer the piper by word of mouth, wherever it was man's luck to find him, silver and gold to his heart's content, if he'd only return the way he went and bring the children behind him. But alas, they found 'twas a lost endeavor. Piper and dancers were gone forever. So, children, let you and me be wipers of scores out with all men, especially pipers. And whether they pipe us free from rats or from mice, if we promise them aught, let us keep our promise.
The Pied Piper of Hamelin, Alec Templeton's new album, now available on label X. When Elizabeth Barrett Browning first wrote her beautiful sonnets from the Portuguese, she never intended to have them published. They were written as a tribute of her love for her husband. After the birth of their son, however, Robert Browning convinced his wife that the sonnets should be shared with the world. Elizabeth Barrett Browning wrote 44 sonnets from the Portuguese. And when completed in 1956, they will be sung as three song cycles by the young American composer and soprano, Miss Thelma Metesky. Miss Metesky began her work in April of 1951. So far, she has written the music for 24 of the sonnets. Although she has sung them and received high critical acclaim in the New York area, this will be the first network performance of Miss Metesky's compositions. Today, we'll hear three of the sonnets from the Portuguese. Sonnet number 4, Thou Hast Thy Calling to Some Palace Floor. Number 5, I Lift My Heavy Heart Up Solemnly. And sonnet 6, Go From Me, Yet I Feel That I Shall Stand Henceforward in Thy Shadow. Miss Metesky will be accompanied by Miss Anita DeMars.
Thank you. that weeps as thou must sing alone, aloof, I lift my heavy heart up solemnly, as one select rock our sepulchral urn, and looking in. How the red wild sparkles dimly burn through the ashen greenness. If thy foot in scorn could tread them all to darkness, utterly, it might be well, perhaps. But if instead thou wait beside me for the wind to blow the gray dawn, those lures on thine head, beloved, will not shield thee so. That's not the bowl, the fire to scorch and tread the hair beneath. Stand further up and go. Henceforward in thy shadow, nevermore alone upon the threshold of my door of individual life, I shall command the uses of my soul, nor lift my hands sternly in the sunshine as before, without the sense of that which I forbore. Thy touch upon the palm. The widest land doom takes to part of
On Anthology, A Salute to American Jewish Book Month. Excerpts from the selected essays of William Carlos Williams, just published by Random House, and the poetry of E.E. Cummings, read by the poet. Anthology is brought to you, transcribed, in conjunction with the Poetry Center of the YM and YWHA in New York. This has been an NBC radio production, written and directed by Draper Lewis. Until next week, this is Fleetwood wishing you good luck and good readings.